As the children are going down, just let me share a quick story about an elderly man who had serious hearing problems, and he had them for a number of years. His family tried and tried and tried to get him to go get a hearing test and get hearing aids, but he didn't go and he didn't go and he didn't go. Finally, he decided, I'm going to go. And so he went and he got hearing aids that allowed him to hear at 100%. A month later, he went back to the doctor, the hearing doctor, and the doctor said with a smile, your hearing is perfect. Your family must be pleased that you can hear again. The old man replied, oh, well, I haven't told them yet. I've just been sitting around listening to their conversations, and I've changed my will 3 times. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Today we're going to look at how we talk. Talk is something that we do every day, and we don't give it much thought of the impact that we can have with the words that we speak. Our words have great potential. They can build someone up or they can tear someone down. Are you aware of how your words are affecting the people around you? Many of you may be thinking, I know someone who needs to hear this message. But the thing is, this message is for you. This message is for you to take in. We just sang about being set apart and be called holy. One way of doing that is in our speech and how we speak. So we all need to watch the words that we speak. So let's look at James chapter 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships for an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilots want them to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I'm going to stop there. And the first thing I want to see here today is leaders have great influence with their words. So I want to talk first about leaders and the influence that they have in their with their words. Because verse 1 warns us not to presume to be teachers, because we'll be teachers are strictly accountable. God demands more strict accountability from teachers. Those who teach will be judged more strictly. A teacher receives added prominence from his position, but also falls under stricter scrutiny from God. Teachers can cause more damage because they have a greater audience and assumed authority. And what they must be speaking is truth. So if you're a pastor up here speaking, they must assume that what you're speaking is truth. If you're a Sunday school teacher, what you're teaching is truth. This is the reason I take great diligence to study the Bible each week, so that I am not telling you what I think, but what the Scripture of God says, what God wants to say to you. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority, They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. That verse speaks to me, and it should speak to all in church leadership of any kind. Whether you are a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, a Bible study leader, or a leader of your home, your leader at your home, or your supervisor at work, it says about leaders that they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. They have to give an account of how they lead and how they speak. The work we do better be God's work and not our own, or we'll have to answer to God for straying and doing our own thing. I take this very seriously. My goal in ministry is not to make you happy. It's to make God happy. If I make you happy, that's icing on the cake, but it's about making God happy. I want to make sure that I'm the spiritual shepherd over God's church, is to make sure that I got God's plan in mind for you, whether you want that plan or not. Teachers provide instruction to help ground their hearers in the truth of God and leading them in the path that will guide their lives. James is not trying to scare people away from being spiritual leaders, being teachers. He's not trying to scare people away. Becoming a teacher is a very noble and God-honoring thing to do. Pursue that. But make sure you see the seriousness of your influence. You are not in leadership to please men, because sometimes you will have to disappoint men in order to please God. Stick to the truth of God's word over being popular. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." A teacher who doesn't preach the truth leads their sheep down the wrong path. There are prominent teachers, popular TV preachers, that gather thousands upon thousands of people at church on Sunday, but they water down the message that they give. I've even heard preachers talking about and confess that they'll say, "You'll never hear me speak about hell or tithing or sin or picking up your cross and dying and following me." They said they will not speak about that. People don't want to hear about that. These pastors tell their church people what they want to hear instead of what God tells them that they should want to hear or need to hear. No wonder they have large followings. I just think to myself, parents, do you tell your kids what they want to hear all the time? No way. No way, not as parents. You tell them it's bedtime. Even if they're kicking and screaming going to bed, you tell them it's time for bed. You make your kids take the medicine even when they don't want to, because it doesn't taste very good. You make them take the medicine because you know it's for their own good. Sometimes God's word is not what we want to hear at the moment, but a teacher must teach it anyway, because they know it is for the people's own good. People get mad at God's messengers all the time. But if you read God's word, that is nothing new. God's messengers were not welcomed in this world. The prophets and the disciples stood in opposition to the world, and they were killed. Jesus says in John 15:20, he says, "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they'll obey yours also." If you speak God's word, it's bound to step on some toes in this world. This world didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. They hung him on the cross. They don't want to hear about sin or that they need to change their lives. But teachers, you are committed to a great responsibility in the kingdom of God. Don't back down from pleasing the one you'll have to give to account to someday. And again, I say all of us are teachers. It's not just the Sunday school teachers that have a formal office, but we're all teachers. People are looking at us. They go to church. People look at the way that we live. But second thing I want to see here today is the power of the tongue. This is where we're really getting into this passage here, is the power of the tongue. Verse 3 says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal." Think about horses. Horses are big animals. Now, the average weight of a horse is probably about 1,000 pounds, or maybe even more than 1,000 pounds. That's a lot of horse. And that, even though you're only a fraction of the size of the horse, you can control it. You might think to control an animal that size, you need something pretty big. But you don't. All you need is a little bit in the horse's mouth to make that animal turn the way you want it to turn. That little 6-inch bit doesn't just turn the head of the horse. It turns the whole direction of that horse, where it wants to go. These horses are huge. They pull wagons. They take plows behind them. They plow fields. Yet you can use one hand and make that horse go where you want it to go. In the same way, the rudder of a ship makes up less than 1% of a ship, yet it guides the whole ship. James realizes that our small tongue does the same thing. The tongue is one of the smallest organs of the body. The tongue is not very big. It weighs less than 0.5 pounds, but it's the hardest part of the body to control. The illustration that hits home with me is the illustration of fire. It takes one little spark to start a huge, massive forest fire. Think about the forest fires that we see in California. You see these pictures of the forest fires in California. Tens of thousands of acres are being burned up because of one spark that started and got out of control. I wonder how many raging forest fires we have started in our lives by the few words that we have spoken in our lives. We just say a couple things wrong, but they have devastating impacts on people that we share it with. You don't think your words are important. Listen to verse 6. Verse 6 says, "The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." The tongue is a fire. Just think about that as you speak, that your tongue can be a fire. Have you ever seen a forest fire? It consumes everything in its path. Your tongue is a fire that consumes everything in its path. It also says in verse 6, the tongue corrupts the whole person. Maybe you say, I know I need to work on how I talk, but everything else is okay. I'm not that bad. But James says that the words corrupt your whole life. Your tongue has great power, and it steers your life. Which way is your tongue steering your life? The tongue bears influence far beyond the proportion of its size. Words have a power to shape a life. We've all heard the phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's not true. That's not true at all. Words will not break your bones, but they will hurt. Words ruin reputation. They crush self-esteem. They destroy friendships. Entire lives are ruined by some harsh words that are spoken. Proverbs 12:18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Have you ever had some people that share some different things to you, that statements that hurt you? Statements like, "You are worthless. You are stupid. You are a loser. You cannot do anything right. I don't like you." You know, people have committed suicide because of what other people have spoken to them. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths," but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The Tom has destroyed many marriages and relationships, and is continuing to do so. That same tongue that one day said, "I love you," has brought forth words of disrespect, pain, and agony. The tongue can hit you much more powerful than a fist, and its pain lasts much longer. You see that when you get hit by the hand, you get hit, pain usually goes away after an hour or so, or a few hours. But with the tongue, when the tongue hits you, that sting can last for a whole lifetime. How many of you can still remember something that someone said to you that was harsh and bad? Do you remember hearing that? Cut like a knife. That wound is still buried inside you because of what someone said. Our tongues have huge potential. They can be full of deadly poison, or they can be full of grace. We need to let Jesus be the Lord of our speech. Our words flow out of our relationship with Christ. Look at Matthew 12:35. Matthew 12:35 says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." Good words are spoken, and they stem from what's in your heart, the spirit that has taken over your life. And because you spend significant time studying God's word, good words flow from that. Bad words flow from the sinful nature that you're still in control of your words, and you're just speaking what comes out of your heart. Some people talk like they're not going to be accountable for the words that they speak. One day, we'll be sorry for not taking control of our speech. The words you speak can lead yourself and others away from relationship with Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 12:36-37, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned." I want to make it very clear here, just make it very clear. We don't make it into heaven by how good we speak, or we get to heaven by what Jesus did for us on the cross. It was His sacrifice on the cross that cleanses us from our sins. Jesus nor James are trying to say that we'll go to heaven just by watching the words that we speak. Not at all. But what it's saying is, but it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. So what is coming out of your mouth? That's the condition of your heart. If we speak good, encouraging, godly things, it's because our heart is right with the Lord. But if we speak strife, bitterness, and use bad language, it's because our hearts are still under control of ourselves, and we're speaking those things. It's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. We need to recognize our heart's condition. Jeremiah 17:9 gives us biblical view of what our heart's condition is. "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" I hope you hear that verse. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart refers to our feelings, our emotions, our desires. The heart is part of the fall of mankind. I hear people saying all the time, "I want to follow my heart." No, don't do that. It will just lead you astray. Follow what you know to be true. Follow these words. These are true and right. We say things from the heart only to wish that we would have said those things. I wish I wouldn't have said that. If we'd stop and pray about the words that we speak instead of just following our heart, it would save myself a lot of embarrassment and pain. Don't trust your emotions and your feelings to make decisions for you. Psalms 141:3 says, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." That's a good prayer to have. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Sometimes we just can't keep our mouth shut. We just got to say something, and we wish we wouldn't have said that. There's kind of a funny story of three preachers that were on a fishing trip together. They were not catching anything, and it was getting kind of boring because they weren't catching anything. So one of the preachers had an idea saying, why don't we share our biggest sin? We're preachers and we can pray for each other. Let's share our biggest sin with one another. And so the first preacher said, okay, mine is I like to go to the beach and look at different women. That's a sin. I shouldn't be doing that. The second one said, well, my sin is gambling, and I like to gamble and horse racing and doing all these different things. And the third preacher kind of smiled and said, my sin is gossiping. My biggest sin is gossiping. Do you want to be known as someone who can't keep a secret? You can't tell this person anything, or, you know, they'll go tell so-and-so, and then that person will tell so-and-so, and that person will tell so-and-so. Do people see you as someone who talks about people behind their backs? Again, our tongues have a lot of power, and can people trust you with what they tell you? Finally today is the application. The application is the double-mindedness of the tongue. The double-mindedness of the tongue. We read verse 9 and 10. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. There is both a positive and a negative way to use the tongue. We come to church and sing praises to God, singing at the top of our lungs, and then we go out into the parking lot and we talk bad about someone and what they did in church. How can we praise God with our tongues and then go out and talk bad about someone else? You go through the week gossiping, telling lies, yelling at people, but Sunday comes around and your tongue is praising God again. There needs to be consistency. You can't praise God with our tongues in 1 minute and then turn around and use and hurt someone else with our tongues in the next minute. Do not let any unwholesome thing come out of our mouths. People in this world use their tongues to tear down other people. But the church is supposed to be different. We are supposed to show love to each other. We are supposed to use our speech to build each other up. Just because we are Christians and just because we go to church doesn't mean that we have submitted our tongue to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We may go to church each week and we may read devotional each day, but we use our tongue in a way that is inappropriate and does not bring glory to God. Verse 12 says, my brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. If you have a grapevine, you don't wonder all winter long, is my grapevine going to produce bananas? You know that it's going to produce grapes. It's going to produce anything. It's not going to produce figs or oranges or apples. If anything, that plant is going to produce grapes. As Christians, when we open our mouths, should we know the kind of fruit that's going to come out of our mouth? But if we talk differently one way when we're at work, and we talk a different way when we come to church and we hang out at Bible study, all of a sudden we got to kind of guard what we're saying because I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. Is it going to be my work talk or is it going to be my church talk? We need to have consistency and just have godly talk that comes out of our mouths. The tongue can pollute or defile the entire person. Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. Says, a fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Have you ever realized that your lips can be a snare to your soul? Think about the words that you spoke this last week. Have you said things that were not from God? Have you said things this week that have been not from God? I imagine if we're in tune with God's word today, most of us, many of us, would feel convictions in our heart saying, maybe I have spoken some things that were not truly from God. We rip our co-workers to make ourselves look good. We get caught up in the latest gossip. Instead of modeling and having an encouraging spirit in the office to point others to Christ, we have coarse joking. That's a big one. We have coarse joking. We say things that are not befitting of a Christian. We say things just to get a laugh. We take things too far and joke just to get a laugh. I will always remember a children's time that someone did at the church in Illinois that I was from. She had the kids come forward, and I'll always remember this. This stuck with me, and I pray that it kind of sticks with you today as well. But she gave them all just little tubes of toothpaste, I mean these small tubes. And she says, how fast do you get the toothpaste out? It was a challenge. So they ready, set, go. Boom, they got it out very quickly. Like, they got the toothpaste out in a hurry. She said, whoa, man, that was quick. So then she said, then she gave him a spoon and said, now see how fast you can put the toothpaste back in. No way they can put toothpaste back in there with that spoon. And that was a huge thing for me. The point of that was to show the kids that it's easy to say something. It's easy to bring it out, but very hard to take back. And that had a huge impact on me, and I hope it did other people as well. But some great advice we should all follow is, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. You know, when I was in college, I had an assistant basketball coach who would always come up to me, and he would say bad about stuff about everybody else on the team. Do you guys know of anybody like that? They come up to you and they say bad things about everybody else. They'll talk good about you, but you know what? They go talk to someone else and they're talking bad about you as well. Don't be that kind of person. No one wants to hang around that kind of person who talks bad all the time. The tongue can set the whole course of your life on fire. The tongue is like a steering wheel that guides you on the path that you choose. Proverbs 12, 13 and 14 says, an evil man is trapped by a sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. You can get a reputation of being a liar, a gossiper, or someone who does not keep his word. People know that you are all talk and you will never do what you're going to say you're going to do. You know, someone may ask to borrow $100. I know by the reputation, man, is this person going to pay me back the $100? Some people I know will. I know some people won't pay me back. People know if they can trust your word. They know if your speech has integrity or if it's filled with hatred or bitterness. I know people who speak by pure emotion. They just kind of go off and just speak by pure emotion. Whatever they're feeling, that's what comes out of their mouth. And not being led by God's Spirit speaking through them. James says in verse 7 and 8, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Taming the tongue is not easy. James says it's easier to tame a wild animal. It's easier for me to tame a grizzly bear to do what I want than it is to tame the tongue. Our tongues are in a slippery spot, but we need to control them because our tongues can be full of deadly poison. Our tongues may not physically kill anybody, But they could do much worse. They could be putting people on the wrong spiritual path. It's not a good influence for one of God's children to be speaking ungodly things. Remember who you are representing with your tongue. Our tongues have great power. So, if I asked you today, what kind of words come out of your mouth? What kind of words come out of your mouth? What would you say? What if I asked someone close to you, your spouse or your children or a best friend? What if I asked someone or your coworker? What if I asked them what kinds of words come out of your mouth? What would they say? Bottom line here today is Jesus glorified when you open your mouth? Is Jesus glorified when you open your mouth? So at this time, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. It's hymn number 429, if you want to look in the hymnal. When we talk, let it be uplifting. Again, we talk every day. So let me just close with this question. When you open your mouth, does it better the world or does it cause more pain and division in this world? Think about this week, how you talk, and let us talk, use our words in a godly way. So let's stand and let's sing together.